Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage. This is an encore presentation of The Savage Nation.
Hey, welcome to the day after Thanksgiving Michael Savage special extravaganza. Here are some of the greatest moments from The Savage Nation.
I believe Congress will recognize that this deal actually has a great deal of benefit in it. And I look forward to going up and working with our colleagues on the Hill in order to try to persuade them that this is not the moment to increase sanctions.
We regard the agreement signed last night and the Anglo-German naval agreement as symbolic of the desire of our two peoples never to go to war with one another again.
What am I talking about? Duh, I don't know. Who won the football game? Who's that guy talking about? And who's that funny English guy with Herr Hitler? What's that? I don't know any history. I hated history. Well, those who do not know the history are condemned to repeat it. Your president, your dictator, went around Congress, Democrats and Republicans alike, and sent his stooge, John Kerry, to Iran to work out a deal with the terrorist nation of terrorist nations, the den of vipers in Iran. I was shocked, frankly, by the audacity and the insult to our Constitution that had occurred. And I made it short and sweet. And I said this. My headline on MichaelSavage.com was quite succinct, and it went like this. Obama, Kerry, throw Israel to Islamic wolves. I believe I was correct. I believe I was correct. Mike Rogers, ever hear of him? No, he's not a baseball player. No, he's not a coach. No, he doesn't work for Steven Spielberg. Mike Rogers is the head of the House Intelligence Committee. He's supposed to know these things. He's supposed to know what the president and the secretary of state are doing behind his back. He said that he was not notified of it. He was not told about the talks with Iranians leading up to the nuclear deal that will give Iran the ability to make nuclear weapons. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about Obama's secret Iran nuke deal? And if you want to make it a little lighter, we can do that as well on the show tonight. I know many of you are already traveling. You're in different states and different locations, and yet you've snuck out of the family house and you found the Savage Nation either on an iPhone or on a local station. 855-407-2822 is the phone number. The Iran deal. Some liberals are saying this is the equivalent of Nixon going to China. That it's a wonderful, wonderful give peace a chance moment. Scholars who are pro-Islamist at the London School of Economics, a hotbed of anti-Americanism, said, finally the dog wags the tail. Tough luck for Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, says Fawaz Gurgaz, a scholar at LSU and author of the recent book on the Middle East. And so I ask you, ladies and gentlemen of Savage Nation, again, how do you feel about giving Iran the ability to make nuclear weapons? Because that's what your president just did without notifying Congress. And by the way, the schism that has occurred even within the Democrat Party is actually unprecedented in the history of this regime. That's right. The Democrat Party has fractured over this. Some very prominent liberal Democrats are saying, what? How could you do this? Who are they? Charles Schumer, a lockstep liberal. Representative Engel, a lockstep liberal. Even Harry Reid was caught dumbfounded. He didn't know what to say today. He went all over the map. And even Harry Reid said, more sanctions, not less sanctions against Iran may be needed. This has fractured the bloc that has always rallied around the fundraiser-in-chief. I need some music. I had a head of hair. I wore tight pants. I wore Dax. They were called Dax in the 60s. Came back to me the other day. Imagine wearing pants at like a 28, 27. Can't believe it. I was once a runner, too, later on in life. Till my age 30, 31, I was a runner. I was always very fit. Then I gave up. I didn't care. No, I'm still Good. At a certain point, you figure, what are you keeping yourself alive for the Undertaker? No, I'm not at that point. I'm not one of those guys. I thought about becoming like that. I wanted to almost look like an English lord of another century. Kind of, you know, really fat jowls, brandy on the face, you know, that kind of thing. A guy who, like, dines on three gigantic meals a day without any regard to how long he lives. But it's not in me. I'm so conditioned to not go that direction. I'd like to. I can't. So I was a runner until I was 30, 31, 32. I had, like, the physique of a Somali long-distance runner, like a Ethiopian beekeeper. I mean, I was in great shape. Miserable every second of my life. Horrible. But I was thin, low cholesterol, perfect shape. So I was running up. I lived in a little house in Marin County at the time when the children were young. Little did I know I'd moved into like a southern town from the south in the 50s. The most racist town I ever lived in my life. All liberals, of course. Peace, love, marijuana, the most vicious bigots I've ever met in my entire life. It was so awful. I'll tell you about it one day. I can tell you about it right now if you want. Why I say that Fairfax, California was the most racist, bigoted town I've ever lived in my life. And they pride themselves on peace, love, peace signs. Yeah, I'm for global. Yeah, right. Okay, sure. But I was running in the back of the valley. There was a waterfall. I'd run every day. Run, perfect shape, you know, 30 size, 28 waist. Then one day I was running. I had two young children running up the mountain. And an inner voice screamed, stop. Never ran again. That was the last day I ever ran. So people, you tell it, people say, oh, you had a psychotic break. No, it's called listen to the inner voice, man. Since then, I bicycle every day, by and large. I mild bicycling. The master of bicycling was someone you never heard of. It wasn't the guy who was disgraced because of doping. Poor Armstrong. Oh, they did to him. Wow. But let's put that aside. The master of bicycling was Mr. Dr. Kellogg, who created Kellogg's Corn Flakes and the Kellogg Sanitarium at Battle Creek, Michigan. You don't know this, but he bicycled 1 mile a day in a suit and tie to his from his home to his clinic. And he said, I bicycle 1 mile in each direction every day on a flat country road. Why? He said, it's not so much about the pushing the exercise. It's about the equilibrium that a bicycle forces you to maintain. I said, wow, that's brilliant. That is so Asian. In its concept, it was so ahead of its time. And I always do that when I don't feel good. I get on my bicycle, and I bicycle for about even 10 minutes on a flat street. You don't have to push yourself like you're going to get a heart attack. I want you guys to understand there's a potential of killing yourself through overexertion. Be clear on it. You are not a mechanical, you're not a mechanical device. You're a human being, and you can push yourself so far. And there's another mentality about exercise. It's totally different, which is do it for the harmony that it induces in your body and your being. And if you can induce the harmony through a bicycle ride that's calming and centering, that's very zen, if you want to use that phrase. And it's also very good for your mind, and which then sends messages down to your cells. Anyway, I think I've explained myself. I hung up already. All the lights went off on the Telos board. I got too... So anyway, I stopped running for that. Never ran again. That's all. Size 27, 28 waist, 132 cholesterol. Shall I give you the numbers now? You're never going to hear. I would never give them to you, never. That's all. So what I'm saying is, how do they get away with this stuff? They're like, it's the equivalent of killing America. They're trying to slay America. How do you feel about your fundraiser-in-chief using Air Force One to fly to San Francisco and Los Angeles to raise money on your pocket? How do you feel about Obama's secret Iran nuke deal? Now, let's look at this in context. Let's look at the big picture. He threw an ally overboard. Who will be next? You have to ask yourself, who will be next? He threw an ally overboard. He stabbed Israel in the back. I predicted this. I will again refer to the Bible of the Savage Nation, Trickle-Down Tyranny, where I wrote on the cover of the book, he treats friends like enemies and enemies like friends. He acts like a monster to the American people and to Congress. He acts like a Caesar. He acts like a Caesar to the American people and to Congress, while to the worst enemies that America has seen since World War II, he goes softly into the night and goes limply into the night and gives them everything they want. It's a very dangerous schizophrenic situation that we find ourselves in. And frankly, you should be as agitated as I am. the Iran deal. I will give you the seven loopholes favoring a nuclear Iran in the deal that was signed by the world powers. I will tell you why it is worse than Munich, meaning why he has done a deal that is being assailed from all sides. I will tell you that Kerry and Obama should be impeached for what they did, because they did it without the approval of Congress. The only cheerleader for this deal in Congress is Dianne Feinstein. I wonder if there's a shopping cart deal on the side that was thrown in. There may be some shopping carts for Tehran International Airport. That's the only explanation. Yes, the Congress, the committees given to this were left in the dark by your president. Just left them completely in the dark. The question to you is, how do you feel about this? 855-407-282. We'll talk about anything but football. Sports are not welcome on the Savage Nation. Kerry and Obama stuck a knife into Israel. They threw Israel to the Islamist wolves. He didn't even stab them in the back. He did it right to their face. Obama and Kerry have shown the world definitively that this government has no intention of supporting our longtime allies. Who will be next? Will they now throw Taiwan to China? Will they then throw the disputed regions in India to Pakistan? Yes. This deal means one thing and one thing only. It means an arms race in the Middle East. Do you think for 1 minute that Israel is going to allow Iran to keep working on their development of a nuclear weapon? Do you really think that this is a peaceful program on the part of Iran wanting to develop nuclear energy when they have all the oil they could possibly need for energy? From a regime that has promised to wipe Israel off the map? And let me ask you something else. Where are the Jewish voices? Am Yisrael Chai. What happened to the Jews in America? When did the Jewish people disappear from the face of the earth? Has there been one professional Jew who spoke out over the weekend? Where is Mr. Chaya? Where is the Anti-Defamation League, which has such a big mouth when it comes to Americans who might offend a Jew? Where is Mr. Foxman? Where's Rabbi Chaya, who have such big mouths for Americans and not a peep to be heard with regard to the mullahs of Iran? I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My whole life has been one of risks. Can't always say it worked out, but that's it. I engage in risky behavior on the radio all the time, when you think about it. Don't I engage in risky behavior? Do you like the risky behavior? Do you want more risky behavior? Would you rather I talk about brisket rather than risky behavior? Because how much of this can I take? If I say the O word one more time, and now there's two O words that I don't ever want to say. One is Obama, the other is Oprah. To me, they're in the same category. Two O words I never want to hear again. That's I'm bashing MSNBC. I mean, why talk about Basher? Well, who is he? He's a nobody. A slimy limey. I don't know what he's even doing in American media. You got to understand something. The British accent no longer sells. That was a Twiggy thing. In the 60s, I'll tell you how it started. And I don't want to be taken the wrong way. A certain type of New York company, mainly guys from Brooklyn who sounded like Harvey Weinstein's father, I would imagine. Heavy mixed accents from the old country who sold schmatas. Hired young girls who spoke with a British accent. Why? They thought it was classy. J&L ties, you know, that kind of thing. And every schnuck who made a little money hired a secretary with a British accent. So it was cool in the 60s. That whole British thing, everyone like it. They thought it intimidated their friends from who sold undershirts. So the tie manufacturer in the garment center would hire a girl who spoke with a British accent. And then she'd answer the phone. And the guy with the tie manufacturer then had to out get someone with a better British accent. He hired someone from Jamaica because they have a better British accent than people from London, by the way, incidentally. This is a product of the great education people had in Jamaica. But today it doesn't sell. It's the reverse is true. No one trusts foreigners in America. So why would MSNBC hire someone with a fraudulent accent to begin with? If you investigate accents, and I'm an expert on them, you'll find there's no such thing as a British accent per se. There are varieties of English spoken in England and in other, you know, ex-colonies that vary. But there's no such thing as class associated with it. I can go into that with American accents as well. Regional accents are interesting to me. My accent is interesting to me. Your accent is interesting to me. People who speak with a Midwestern no-accent voice are actually affecting that. They're affecting the fact that they have no regional accent. That's an affectation. But that's a separate one. All right, 855-47282. I'm getting cold here in the studio. It says Governor GOP hopefuls testing more inclusive tone. And I asked an interesting question. In California, of course, they're going to fall on their face. They think that the Republican Party has to engage candidates who are pro-homosexual marriage, pro-amnesty, and pro-abortion. They, of course, created new code words for all of that. Notice not one of those statements actually reads as it is. It says, should the Republicans engage social issues such as, quote, pro-choice, that means abortion, pro-same-sex marriage rights, that means homosexual marriage, and pro-pathway to citizenship for those in the U.S. illegally, that means amnesty. So just by setting the question up, they're lying. But that's what you get from Comrade Joe at the Chronicle.
KSFO. This is an encore presentation of the Savage Nation.
While you're enjoying your Thanksgiving food hangover and all that tryptophan is keeping you doped up, here are some of the Savage Nation's greatest hits. I hear that Kerry has a Black Friday sale coming up. Build one nuke, get two dirty bombs free. And I hear that most places are having a half-off sale, while Obama is offering a half-life sale. WABC, Ron, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I want to congratulate you on having your producer.
All right, please, let's get to the point. I know you love me. What's your point?
Mike, I have four questions. Can I ask four questions?
No, this is my show. Make your comment, please.
Well, just tell me what would happen when China says, listen here, America, you dumb little twips, you can no longer have a weapons or anything because we think it's sure dangerous to the rest of the world. What are you going to do then? Who are you gonna
so be- now you're equating America with Iran, so that's very intelligent of you.
Don't ask. No, I'm not doing that. I'm asking.
It's what you just did. You equated America with Iran. That's what you just did. How can you make that equivalency?
Question. You know, are you aware that there's over 1,000 Muslims in this world for every one Jew on the planet?
So therefore the Jew should die or jump in the sea? What are you saying?
Why does America, the American taxpayer, and I'm an American Indian,
that makes you sacred. So that makes you sacred because you have a chip on your shoulder that makes you right. Is that correct?
No, listen.
Because you walk around with a grievance that means you're right about everything? Maybe your grievances warp your mentality.
I'm asking questions for enlightenment.
No, you're not asking anything. You're making a fool of yourself. Before you even started, you made a fool of yourself. So far, you try to make America the equivalent of Iran. What are you basically saying? Iran has the right to build a weapon and we have no right to tell them not to?
I didn't say that. I said, what would you do when China says...
But don't ask rhetorical questions. Is that your implication?
No. My question to you is why... why does America's taxpayers spend $30 billion giving a little place like Israel everything? Why do they have all of our secrets?
Well, why do Indian gambling casinos not pay federal taxes? I don't have an answer for that. Why aren't American Indians paying federal taxes? I can ask you that question since you're representing your people. But I think we should stay focused on the Iran nuclear deal. I think that's what we are trying to discuss.
Iranians not have the right to run their own country. Why do we have to?
Well, I will give you the answer from my perspective. Do you know any other nation that has a nuclear weapon that said, I will wipe a race off the planet other than Iran? Iran has said repeatedly, when we get the weapon, we will use the weapon. Iran has said Israel is an illegitimate nation that doesn't have the right to exist. And so therefore, you don't give a lunatic a loaded gun when he says he's going to go to a school and shoot children, do you? If you have an idiot who says, I'm going to get a gun, and when I do, I'm going to go into a school and shoot children, do you let that person get a gun?
The subject again. Let's stay on the subject matter.
Well, we are on the subject, but your mind is so warped with peyote, you can't follow a rational argument.
Well, listen, I smoke dope when somebody else is buying it. And
that's right. You smoke a lot of dope, and you can't follow a logical argument. I just said to you, and I'll repeat it, and then I'm going to get off the air with you because I can see we're going to get nowhere. Iran has said when they get the weapon, they will wipe Israel off the planet. That's been said many times. It went on for year after year after year. How do you permit such a nation which says it's going to commit genocide to get a nuclear weapon?
Can you answer the next question for me?
You see, you would have been a good rabbi. Unfortunately, you're an American Indian, not a Jew. And your type of rhetorical questions are an example of your ignorance because you can't answer a question, so you keep asking them. You asked me a question, and I answered it. Instead of saying, yeah, I'm right or wrong and showing me where, you go on to a next question.
Let's just answer this question. Take
a walk. Go smoke some weed and leave me alone. That's all. 855-400-7282. I answered the question. I answered the question. Stop asking stupid questions. There's an element to this which I don't understand. He stabbed Israel in the back. That's a given. We know why. That's a given. He was signaling this for a long time. This administration is filled with Jew haters. My opinion, one man's opinion. They hate Israel. They detest Jews. I know you don't but want to believe that. Okay, it's how I see it. There's an anti-Semitism that runs throughout this entire administration. I know what the left, even if they're of Jewish descent, they're anti-Israel and they hate their own religion, they hate their own people. I know how the communist left views their own heritage. I know it so well, I don't even have to bother explaining it to you. I understand it very well. In fact, I'll tell you a spiritual story about it. And that just came to mind because I have to establish what I just said to you so you understand it. There's a very famous story of an extremely Orthodox rabbi going back several generations in Russia. This is right after the Communist Revolution, 1918, 1919. The revolution, of course, was in 17. And they arrested all of the chief religious figures in the Soviet Union, ex-Russia. They arrested priests, and they arrested a Jewish leader. They put him in a prison, and they said to him, the communists came to him, and they said, the young communist radicals came to him, and they said, if you'll go out on your balcony and tell your listeners that God doesn't exist and they should follow the state, we'll free you from the prison. The old man said, I can't do that because it's not true and it's not what I believe in. So they put him in a lower cell and a worse cell. They came to him again and they said, if you tell your followers on a balcony, just got to go home and say, trust in this government. This government is good. We'll take you out of prison. The rabbi wouldn't do it. He was very stubborn, you see. He was stiff-necked. He was very stubborn. They then put him into a lower cell in the basement. This is 100% true. You ask people, I'll even give you the name at the end of the story. Finally, he wouldn't yield, and they put him in a basement where water was up to his chest, and there were rats. He was in a cell with water up to his chest, this old man, with rats. And they sent a revolutionary communist down to him, and they gave him one last chance. And he said to him, Rabbi, look, you're going to die down here if you don't go out on your balcony and tell the people to believe in this in the new government, the new communist government. The rabbi looked at the young man, and he thought he recognized him. And he knew that the communist that he was talking to was of Jewish heritage. And he said to this young man, if you believe in many gods and one world, act accordingly. But if you believe in one God and many worlds, act accordingly. And like by a miracle, he's released from the jail the very next day. This is 1,000% true. You ask any Orthodox Jew who's intellectually advanced and knows the story, they will tell you who that rabbi was. Because by a miracle, that rabbi was released from prison, and he came to America and established a religious group around him. That's 1,000% true. His name was Yosef Yitzhak Schneerson. Now, what does that mean to the average Jew or American? Very little, unless they're of the Hasidic, let's say, sect, if you want to put that. And, you know, there's a saying that when things get tough and you're greatly outnumbered by your enemies and you feel you can't win, that's the time to fight like hell. No, that's not when you give up and you roll over. When you think you can't win, the U.S. Marines know this. They teach it to their men. The Rangers know it. The U.S. Army teaches it to its men. That's what the U.S. military's entire code was built upon. When the enemy outnumbers you 10-1, that's not the time to throw down your weapons. It's the time to fight like hell, and you just might win. Well, this little rabbi battled the Bolsheviks, who took over Russia, the communists, in other words, like our takeover right now by the communists. And the communists then created a special Jewish affairs section run by Jews, which instigated anti-religious activities meant to strip Orthodox Jews of their religious way of life. And so, as a Rebbe of a Russia-based Jewish movement, Schneerson was outspoken against the atheistic communist regime and its goal of forcibly eradicating religion throughout the land. And what did he do? He didn't appease them like today's professional Jewish organizations are appeasing the Marxist-Leninists, atheists. Instead, he told his followers to set up religious schools, going against the dictates of the Marxist-Leninist dictatorship of the proletariat. And that's what he did. And then he was forced by the Russian secret police to leave Rostov due to the slander put out by him. He wasn't killed. And what did he do? He fought even harder to set up Jewish schools. He worked his heart out. He established Jewish schools all over Russia. And he kept the Chabad yeshiva system alive while he was under surveillance by agents of the NKVD, the equivalent of our NSA. While he was under continual surveillance by agents of the NKVD, he didn't scream and die in Oy Vey. He fought them. He built more Jewish schools. Unlike you, who's afraid of the NSA and afraid that the Obama's coming to get you. And he was arrested again and put into the Spalerno prison in Leningrad. He was accused of counter-revolutionary activities and sentenced to death. You don't know any of this. But he didn't die. There was a lot of political pressure to save him. And the story is, it keeps going on and on and on. He came to America with only two men. And he was told, be quiet here, don't start a religious group here like that. It's not Europe, it's America. America is different. Don't even try. And Schneerson wrote, out of my eyes came boiling tears. The next day he started the first yeshiva in America called the Lubavitch Yeshiva, saying America is no different. In 1949 he became a U.S. citizen with his son-in-law, Menachem Mendel. So I don't have to tell you more about this group. They're not perfect. They're not saints. They're people like everybody else. But amongst this religious group, there are holy men who keep the entire group going. Real holy men. Real believers. And it's very important for you to understand this story for many reasons. Look at what he faced when the communists of his time tried to suppress him. Arrested, imprisoned, slandered. Surveillance by agents of the NKVD. And instead of saying, I'll cooperate with you, he said, I'm going to create more religious organizations. Now that takes us to the Iran deal, Obama-Kerry. There was a Christian pastor there, arrested by the Iranian government. The secret police arrested him for giving out Bibles in Iran. That's what a wonderful country they are. You hear this, giving out a Bible. Instead of saying, release this man, Obama and Kerry ignored this man. So it's worse than it was when the Soviets took over Russia right now under this administration. Spinelessness would be one word, but it would be inaccurate. This is well beyond spinelessness. Why? Because these are atheists who are glad that Christianity is suppressed in Iran. These are Leninists who are happy that Christianity is being suppressed around the world, especially the Islamist world. It's far worse than it was when the Soviets took over Russia right now. Because you have been infiltrated without even understanding what's going on. At least there they said that they're Marxists and Leninists. Here they say that they're Americans. Here they say they love America. Here they tell you they're out for the interests of the American people. Here they tell you peace is at hand. Here they tell you this is the greatest thing that has ever happened to America. And you buy it. Hook, line, and sinker. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Gutter, MSNBC gutter. But they were in the gutter to begin with. They can go lower than the gutter. They went lower than the gutter. They went into the latrine. To me, the gutter is a step up from Martin Basher. That guy came from a latrine, and that's where his mind is, a latrine. That's all. D.C. mayor signs bill allowing illegal immigrants to drive his license. I really like the Toronto mayor, Rob Ford. Now there's a new video of him knocking over a female counselor in a screaming match. He's the crackhead. Knocks over a female counselor. He rushes her and throws her to the ground. I swear to you. I watched the video. I said, no, this can't be true. He looks like someone in radio, almost like a twin. I can't say who, because they're not similar in type. I mean, they're similar in physical type, but certainly not in mental behavior, mental statements or anything. But if ever he wanted someone could play him. Or conversely, if Rob Ford, the mayor of Toronto, wanted to leave politics, he could play someone in radio that I'm No, it could play him. No, let's stop right there. Stop it. That's not fair. Oh, what else is in the news? God. Yeah, Zuckerberg, the genius. Faceberg. Zuckerface now is pushing amnesty. Working hard at it. Very smart, Zuckerface. Very smart. Suddenly he cares. We shall. He's another now civil rights activist, Zuckerface. What's he doing it for? Because he cares about illegal immigrants? Because it was a deal made with the White House, that's all. You want your cheap laborers, the B-1B visas? You work for the whole package. We want the cheap workers. So you got to push for amnesty, Zuckerface. Zuckerface or Faceberg. I don't care. Call up anyone you want. See if I care. Say what you want. I really don't care anymore what you say about me. I'll call him Zuckerface until the cows come home. I don't know what that means, cows come home. Till the cows come home. I think it means at the end of the day, whatever. What else? Zimmerman, yeah, he was arrested today, a schmuck. I wasn't on Zimmerman's side. I got slammed for that. I said he was a punk looking to, for it to be a hero. You know, I'm on record. Zimmerman arrested in Florida for allegedly pointing shotgun at girlfriend. Real putz. No, the guy's a psych. A psycho. Not a psych major, a psycho. I said that. I said that as thuggish as the kid he killed was, he didn't deserve to die. I've said that. I'm on record. I don't take it back. I got slammed for that. I said he was a punk trying to be a hero. I was right. Who marches around with a loaded gun as a neighborhood watch officer? He's hoping it could be John Wayne. Now, it's true, Trayvon Martin, but Trayvon was not armed. Remember? I don't want to relive it. But I was definitely opposed to Zimmerman at the time, and I got a lot of attacks because of it, because I went off the reservation. It's easy to say, oh, yeah, Zimmerman was right, real hero. That's not the point. No one deserves to die because you don't like them. Play Harvey Weinstein. Now, you're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe this Harvey Weinstein clip. Listen to this one.
This is the only country in the world where we don't have health care. Mm. Countries embarrass us around the world. And this is the only country in the world where we don't have a gun law. Mm. I watched you, you know, talk about that. Mm. You know, quite frankly, it's embarrassing. Obama's not embarrassing. The country's embarrassing.
Now, the most embarrassing thing about America is Hollywood, that we know. The most polluted images that the world has to gag on a daily basis are produced by men like Weinstein. And he says the country is embarrassing, and you go to his movies? You go to this man's movies? You actually go to a movie theater where Harvey Weinstein makes money off it? A man who just said you're embarrassing? Unbelievable to me how people don't do the right thing in this country. Harvey Weinstein says Obama's not embarrassing, the country is embarrassing. You hear this? And we're embarrassed in foreign countries? Harvey, you can move to Pakistan. I'm sure they would love you. You can move to India, Harvey. They'd love you. Their gain would be our loss, Harvey. Please move to Pakistan. Are they trying to provoke a race war in the country? What are they trying to do? Do liberals understand what they're doing and why they're doing it? Or is there some other reason that this foulness is suddenly emanating from them? It's a question that has to be answered because this has to stop. This has to stop. Because this will yield a disaster for America if this keeps up. If we had a legitimate leader, and I mean that exactly what I just said, if we had a legitimate leader, this wouldn't be happening. So you have to ask yourself, is somebody behind the president making calls or sending emails out to these people telling them to say these things? Is it Axelrod? Do you know that Kerry and Obama are screaming to the other Western nations to stop moving towards more sanctions on Iran? Do you understand what Obama is doing? What did I write in my book, Trickle Down Tyranny? What did I say? He treats our enemies like friends and our friends like enemies. You know I was right. Well, what's the good of being right when you have an out-of-control rogue dictatorship in the United States of America? They answer to nobody. The most secretive administration in modern American history. At the same time, stabbing not only Israel, but other allies in the back. Can you imagine you live in a time when France becomes Israel's ally and we become Israel's enemy? Would you believe that would happen?
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage. This is an encore presentation of The Savage Nation.
I know you just want to lay around all day and look at the football and not even throw it and digest all the food you gorged yourself on yesterday. That makes it the perfect time to enjoy these greatest hits from The Savage Nation.
The American people want less partisanship in this town, but everyone in this chamber knows that if the majority chooses to end the filibuster, if they choose to change the rules and put an end to democratic debate, then the fighting and the bitterness and the gridlock will only get worse.
The vote today, I think, is an indication that a majority of senators believe, as I believe, that enough is enough. The American people's business is far too important to keep falling prey day after day to Washington politics.
The filibuster is far from a procedural gimmick. It's part of the fabric of this institution we call the Senate. It was well known in colonial legislatures before we became a country. And it's an integral part of our country's 214-year history.
In the history of our country, some 230-plus years, there have been 168 filibusters of executive and judicial nominations. Half of them have occurred during the Obama administration. The American people believe Congress is broken. The American people believe the Senate is broken. And I believe the American people are right.
The people have made clear they believe the filibuster is an important check and balance to be preserved, not vaporized.
But the filibuster has been overused. It's not just used on major issues like very significant judges, Supreme Court, leaders of the courts of appeals, health care.
This nuclear option is ultimately an example of the arrogance of power. It is a fundamental power grab by the majority party.
I served in the Senate for 36 years. And you got 13 senators, including the minority leader, saying, I will filibuster proceeding on dealing with this national tragedy. What an embarrassing thing to say.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Knockout on the Savage Nation. The gangster regime has knocked out democracy, marked down this day, which is a day that shall live in infamy. The gangster regime under Obama has knocked out democracy. Now, as you know, I go light on politics later at night on most occasions, but what this ex-pugilist, Harry Reid, did at the behest of the gangster regime is astonishing. Not in several hundred years has this been seen. And what I just played for you on the show is worth its entry into the Radio Hall of Fame. We played Obama then and Obama now. We played Reid then, Reid now. Schumer then, Schumer now. Biden then, Biden now. So as you can see, the Democrats are a lying gangster regime with no honor whatsoever. We are now at a phase where what happened under Chavez can happen here. Let me read what a Democrat with a conscience said. Retiring Senator Carl Levin, Democrat Michigan, who is a prominent and influential moderate liberal, was so appalled by what Obama and Reid did that he put out a 2,300-word statement explaining in great detail why the gangster regime will cause lasting damage. Here is what Carl Levin himself said, quote, changing the rules in violation of the rules by a simple majority vote is not a one-time action, warned Levin. If a Senate majority demonstrates it can make such a change once, there are no rules that bind the majority, and all future majorities will feel free to exercise the same power, not just on judges and executive appointments, but on legislation. Retiring Senator Carl Levin argued that the move opened the floodgates for the majority to change important rules on a whim going forward. Senator Levin said, and remember, he's a Democrat, pursuing the nuclear option in this manner removes an important check on majority overreach, which is central to our system of government. Did you hear this? One other Democrat had a conscience and said this, Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat, West Virginia. He opposed the rule. And he said this. He said this. He said that the Senate is one of the slowest moving legislative bodies in the world, but this prevents legislation and appointments from moving too fast. It's a defining feature of the Senate for decades. And he said that the vote on Thursday will vastly reduce the power of the minority to stall nominations and make it easier for federal judges to get lifetime appointments. But listen to what Senator Robert Byrd, the late Senator Robert Byrd, diehard liberal Democrat, when liberals still meant something before the gangsters took over America, before the gangster regime of Obama seized power, we had legitimate liberals. You may disagree with them, you may have disagreed with them, but they were legitimate. We now have a totally illegitimate government anarchy operating in this country. The late Senator Robert Byrd said this. He said, back in 2010, when he said doing so, changing the rules, he said would, quote, destroy the uniqueness of the institution. Listen to what Robert Byrd said. In the hands of a tyrannical majority in leadership, that kind of emasculation of the cloture rule would mean that minority rights would cease to exist in the U.S. Senate. Harry Reid, a former pugilist, used a knockout technique to institute a gangster regime. And so I ask you this. Now that the gangster regime has seized total power, and they have, do you fear Obama will now eliminate term limits and run for the presidency? Again, many people think I'm crazy. They say it can't happen here. If I told you this couldn't happen here, you would have said I was crazy. It just happened here. I will ask you again. Do you fear Obama will now use this tactic, this gangster tactic, to eliminate term limits and run for a third term? Will Obama use this gangster tactic to seize your guns? Will Obama use this gangster tactic to grant amnesty to tens of millions of illegal aliens who should be thrown out of the country? 855-400-7282. 855-400-SAVAGE. Let's start with some of the callers because they're important. Las Vegas Joyce on KBET. Your voice is important, Joyce. What do you think will happen next?
Well, I'm not afraid anymore. I knew he was going to stay in office more than third term 3 years ago. I could foresee it. I'm not a soothsayer or anything. I knew it by his words. My White House, my plane. He doesn't work. He doesn't want to work. That's his platform, to be the next dictator of this country. The man.
That's what I fear. I have felt he was Junior Dr. Vanier in the making.
Leaving the country in 5 months. I'm moving out of the country for good.
I felt this man was a Junior Dr. Vanier from the day he appeared on the international stage. I took a look at him. I listened to him. I looked at his background. I try to stop this with my books. People laughed at me. They called me names. I wrote Trickle Down Tyranny as my last attempt to stop him. Right now, he has an open field to crush every principle of freedom and democracy in this nation. Who's going to stop him? John Boehner?
Nobody will stop him because he said he can do whatever he wants to do. The 22nd Amendment is dead. Our Constitution is dead because of this dictator. I must leave the country. I love this country too much, but I probably will never come back again.
Yeah, well, the question is, where are you going to go? Tell me where you can go.
South America. I'm going to Ecuador.
Interesting. Do you know that Australia has a conservative leadership right now who basically is one of the finest leaders in the West right now, if you want to call Australia part of the Western nations? Australia finally got fed up with the communism of the left. I don't think they would take Americans. I don't think they need any Americans there. I think they're doing quite well without us. Gus on WABC on the issue of will Obama now eliminate term limits. I don't mean tomorrow. He doesn't have to do that tomorrow. He's got 3 years left. Tomorrow is amnesty. The next day is whatever he wants. Second Amendment. Maybe a year from now, after the midterm elections, he eliminates term limits. Why not? Why not? Axelrod can certainly arrange that with MSNBC, NBC. He'll give them more tax credits. Right? That's how it works. Look back at the history of the Third Reich. I know you don't want to hear it, but I'll give it to you anyway, since you don't want to hear it. I'll give it to you anyway. Many of you don't understand anything about National Socialism. Many of you don't even understand what Hitler did in his first few years of power. You think it was all dictatorship and he crushed everyone and everyone was opposing him. You're mistaken. Hitler played real nice with the Krupp Steelworks. Hitler gave all of the leading industrialists in Germany everything they wanted, and they looked the other way. I don't know if you understand this. He granted them the biggest contracts you can imagine. So they were very happy, and they looked the other way as he started to bring down the curtain on freedom in Germany. So they were no longer a protector. They became, in fact, part of the problem. So you say, well, what does that have to do with Obama? He's not like Hitler. No, he isn't. He's more like Chavez, I would say. The model might be Chavez rather than Hitler, if you want to use a model. Chavez was a dictator, but he had no concentration camps. He just seized businesses. He drove the middle class out of the country. They fled to America largely. They're here now. Ask anyone from that country what was going on. It's identical to what's going on here. I don't mean to alarm you, but I'm going to alarm you because I'm alarmed. It's that simple. Say, well, he's being an alarmist. So laugh at me. I don't care. Laugh at me all you want. It doesn't matter to me. It's my podium. It's my show. It's my microphone. God gave it to me for a reason. God gave this to me for a reason. I'm now invoking God's name in what I'm telling you tonight. Some days I don't think I can go on. Some days I don't feel I want to go on. Some days I just want to basically walk away from all of this and not be part of it anymore. I can't stand what's going on in my country. I can't stand the evil slime that has now emanated across the nation. I can't stand the lack of leadership. I can't stand the gangsterism. I can't stand the sellouts like Zucker slime. Amnesty saying is one of the biggest civil rights issues of our time, that lying piece of garbage. Amnesty is one of the civil rights issues. It's for cheap labor, you lying slimeball, Zucker face. Who do you think you're fooling? Do you have the soundbite by that undershirt-wearing slimebag? Play Zucker face.
I think that this is one of the biggest civil rights issues of our time, and it makes me proud of the community that I'm a part of out here.
You lying nobody.
So easy to rally.
You're a nobody. You're a sellout for everything. You Zucker face you. You green mailer you. You creep. What, because you made money, you think you're a politician? All you want is the cheap labor. That's all you want. It's not a civil rights issue. It's for cheap labor in your rotten, stinking company. That's all it is. You're a greedy stinker. You're ashamed to your parents. You're ashamed to your ancestors. You're ashamed to yourself. But you wouldn't know it because you're surrounded by a bunch of sycophants, Zuckerberg.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Now, maybe knockout works in the gutters. Maybe you could admire a knockout punk in the street, think that that's really great. But we're not supposed to have a knockout artist in the White House. No, and when we have a knockout artist in the White House working with a former pugilist named Harry Reid, who has destroyed democracy, maybe not once and for all, but certainly has destroyed a key element of our democracy, according to Michael Savage, yes, and who else? Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Dianne Feinstein, Barack Obama himself when he was speaking out of the other side of his mouth. Even Harry Reid said the filibuster is a part of the fabric of the institution. Schumer, the double talker, said that. John Kerry said it, by the way. The question is, what will this gangster regime do next with their knockout tactic? Do you fear, as I do, I said fear, I didn't say I know, I fear that they could eliminate term limits and they could run him for the third term. Now, opposing that would be the Clinton machine, but I don't know how much power they have. Do you fear he will grant amnesty to the 30 to 50 million illegal aliens? Do you fear he will take away the Second Amendment? Why can't he? Who's going to stop him? John Boehner? Paul Ryan? Tell me, who's going to stop him? You? Boehner turned around and said immigration is absolutely not dead. So tell me why he will not grant amnesty, seize your guns, eliminate term limits. Why won't he do it? The board that oversees the Presidio kicked back all three proposals Thursday for a cultural center across from Chrissy Field and expressed particular reservations about a plan offered by Star Wars filmmaker George Lucas. I'm shocked. He thought he owned the park. They're ready to turn it into Hollywood North. How did the trust turn on George Lucas? I mean, he was so good, did everything PC, gave money here, gave money there. Like chicken feed dropped in a chicken yard all around the city. Retired, white hair, benevolent, loved, just beloved by all of them. And they said no. They said, we have an obligation to San Francisco, not political pressure. If George Lucas walks, he walks. Good for you, Nancy Bechtel, Presidio Trust. And flip Sporting Green garbage immediately. It's for the mouse droppings. Business Report mouse, that's for the mouse droppings. Turn to the weather page on the back. I like the weather page. I haven't had a paper. Now I'm buying the papers. There's certain things I still like. Weather. They have like a drawing, like a cartoon of the weather. Wind, 17 to 29 miles an hour. Waves, 4 to 7 feet. Swell, 3 to 5 feet. The marine forecast. Like I need them to tell me what it is. I can't just look out. I can't go to the edge of the water and look at it and see the wind and watch the birds. I need them to tell me there are swells and wind. Oh, look at that. There's swells and wind on it. Well, I guess if you don't live near it, if you live in like Redwood City, you wouldn't know what's going on in the bay. That's true. I live near the water. How about getting me a Tesla for Christmas? If I want to start a fire in my fireplace, I could drive a Tesla into the hearth. Electric cars catching fire. Great. That was a great investment. That was a real good investment. Facebook chief executive Mark Facebook, who brought people who are in the country illegally to Silicon Valley to hack for immigration reform, he should be arrested. 20 immigrants who came to the U.S. illegally as children began taking part in a 25-hour hackathon. The young software programmers broke into small groups to spend all night coming up with new applications as part of an effort to put the spotlight back on what they say is an urgent need for Congress to pass comprehensive immigration reform, which is a code word for amnesty. I think Zuckerberg should be have a citizen's arrest put on him. I think that someone should arrest Mark Zuckerberg for violating the U.S. Constitution and breaking the laws of the land. Who the hell does this creep think he is? Who the hell does Mark Zuckerberg think he is to take illegal aliens and hack for immigration reform? Who the hell is this guy? What country am I living in that the FBI doesn't swoop down on him and say, you know what, it's like growing marijuana, it's illegal, you're arrested, Mark. Sorry, you overstepped your bounds. You're not God. No, see, this is one of the reasons I'm angry. You want to know what criminality is? Zuckerberg is a criminal. By hacking with illegal aliens, he broke two laws. At least two laws. Why does he get away with it? If you don't return a library book, they'll come and arrest you. But Zuckerberg breaks two major federal laws and he gets away with it? You wonder why people are angry?
This is an encore presentation of the Savage Nation.
Welcome to the Savage Nation post-turkey tryptophan hangover edition. If your liberal family members are still driving you mad, then make sure you turn up the next greatest hit from the Savage Nation to maximum volume.
This is, in fact, one of those times that the Founding Fathers and countless other statesmen of history have warned us against.
He's got ketchup all over his collar because that's what he said then, but he certainly didn't stand up. Oh, I know he's very busy trying to make certain Israel disappears, but he could take time out from eviscerating and atomizing the nation of Israel and say something about this because he's a hypocrite. He's an absolute hypocrite. You say, well, okay, what can I do about it? I've got to go buy a turkey. Well, if you want to continue to say that, then you'll slowly lose your nation. How much is left for you to lose? But, you know, it's even worse than you think. North Korea publicly executed 80 people. Why? Some had Bibles. Now, that will please people on the left. They would like to execute you for having a Bible. I understand that. Some for offenses as minor as watching South Korean movies or possessing a Bible. South Korean newspaper Joongang Ilbo reported that the so-called criminals were put to death in seven cities across North Korea on November 3. Ugh. Do you have any idea what we're talking about here? Eight people, their heads covered with white bags, were tied to stakes at a local stadium in the city of Wonsan before authorities shot them with a machine gun? Where is the United Nations? What, are they too busy with the prostitutes tonight on the Upper East Side? Where are they? Where are those rats in the United Nations? They're pointing their finger at Israel, you lousy anti-Semitic bums, you. You third world throwbacks, you. I can't stand any of you in the UN. You phony grifters. You rat grifters, you. All you do is point fingers at Israel. Here, 80 people are executed in North Korea, and you rat mongers. You mongers, you. You have nothing to say about North Korea executing people? Close down the UN. Shut the UN and kick the diplomats out. Turn it into a homeless shelter. Take that entire high-rise and convert it to homeless housing in New York and throw these people out. They're worthless. They're leeches. I lived in New York. I saw what went on outside the UN. I saw them in their limos with the prostitutes. I saw them jumping out, the big executives, the big ambassadors, the diplomats with the shiny shoes. We're doing it for our people. We're doing it for our people back home. This is some story. This is some story. Not one word from the useless United Nations. And what's really galling is that the guy who heads up the UN is Korean. North Korea publicly executes people, some for having videos or Bibles. Not one word from the corrupt, radical people in the United Nations. This was from page A1 of the New York Times. And I must tell you, I had to put down my egg roll to turn the pages to look into this story. Well, the picture of Obama is worth $1,000 on the front of today's New York Times. It's really amazing. In a reversal, Obama moves to avert the cancellation of health policies. But the man really looks chagrined, shocked. And it's frightening to look at in a way because the president's entire persona is different from this. But that's not the story that hit me. The story that got me was the lead story on the front page of the New York Times, which is this. U.S. investigates currency trades by major banks. Cartel was nicknamed. Suspicions of meddling in market handling $5 trillion a day. And what this is about is that an international investigation into banks like Barclays, the Royal Bank of Scotland, and Citigroup, according to recent public disclosures by the banks and interviews with investigators, blah, 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 they're talking about traders in foreign currencies who ultimately flooded the market with trades that potentially raised the cost of currency for clients, but aided the bank's own investments. And then they interview Eric Holder, who says the manipulation we've seen so far may just be the tip of the iceberg. I was shocked that Eric Holder would actually go after banks of this magnitude. No, I really was, because it's not typical of this administration to go after, shall I put it this way, it looks to me like major donors to the Democrat machine. U.S. investigates currency trades by major banks, a likely signal of a legal crackdown on a huge market. And the first thing that came to my mind when I read about currency trades was none other than George Soros, who was not mentioned in this, by the way. I want to be very clear about that. George Soros, who made his fortune originally, so far as I know it, in currency trades, is not mentioned in any of this, but major banks are. And I'm wondering now, I had a wondering moment. Could all of this lead back to the big boy himself? I have no idea, nor do I cast any aspersions upon Mr. Soros's superb dealings in trading in currencies. So Congress's approval rating is at 9%. Obama's approval rating drops to the lowest yet in Quinnipiac. I can't pronounce it. Why can't they just change it? Quinnipiac. Why do they call themselves that? Well, I've always had trouble. Why do you keep a name that no one can pronounce? Americanize it. What does Quinnipiac mean? It's like the name of a tribe. I mean, I respect the Native American culture. President Obama's approval rating drops to lowest yet in Quinnipiac University poll. Can't they change it to something cool like Quinn University? Where do you go? Oh, Quinn University. See, that's cooler than, where do you go? Oh, Quinnipiac. Ugh, get out of here. Quinnipiac. What, he's got a nut? What do you mean, Quinnipiac? Where'd you get your master's from? Quinnipiac. Ugh, get out of here. Where'd you get university, where'd you get degree from? Quinn University. Well, that's pretty nice. See, it's all in the name. Phoenix, Arizona. Bob, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike, hey, Michael, thank you for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm going to keep it real short and simple. This is the mafia back in the 30s on steroids. I mean, look at what he's done to our health care thing. I mean, he spent $640 million on the web page. There's only 330 million people in the United States. $1 million health care bank account, and you'd have been covered. But
my point is this, that let's say that it was all set up just to skim money. Let's say that's what it was for, to skim billions of dollars. But it's beyond that. It's not just skimming money now. Now it's taking away liberty itself. Now it's taking away democracy itself. Now it's taking away our freedom itself.
Yes. Yep.
So the people now are at a critical point. We are now at the turning point. Mark it down. It's a day that should live in infamy. If there was an opposition party, they would have been screaming from a rooftop instead of guzzling scotch in a cloakroom. If we had an opposition party, they would have been out there. There would have been news conferences. There would have been a news conference from the opposition party if we had any opposition whatsoever. As much as I don't like Newt Gingrich because I think he's sort of a naked power grabber himself, I can guarantee you if Newt Gingrich were Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich would have held a press conference and explained in a very succinct manner what this means tonight and how important it is that this be stopped and turned on its heels. Boehner is absolutely unqualified for this position. He is totally unqualified for the position. He has become the equivalent of the MSNBC talk show hosts. John Boehner belongs working for General Electric, not for the American people. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You've got majority rule, and then you've got the Senate over here where people can slow things down, where they can debate, where they have something called the filibuster. You know, it seems like it's a little less than efficient. Well, that's right, it is, and deliberately designed to be so.
That was Hillary then. All the Democrats opposed it when they were the minority. All of them supported it now that they're the majority. They overturned a procedural vote that has been part and parcel of our form of government for well over 200 years. And if you think I'm making this up, listen to John Kerry, who eloquently stated this when he was a member of the minority. Listen to John Kerry then. It's
Don't
important.
Subvert the system. Don't play a cute parliamentary game that's been untouched over 200 years. This is a stunning moment. The problem is that words spoken in this chamber don't even fully convey the importance of this moment. This is, in fact, one of those times that the founding fathers and countless other statesmen of history have warned us against.
You're right, Mr. Kerry. Where are you today now that we need you? I know you're very busy doing a deal with Iran to make sure that Israel is a divided nation and possibly unable to support itself. I realize that's important work for Obama's legacy, which is why he was granted a Nobel Peace Prize before he was literally out of diapers as a president. But that's because they already knew what he was going to do. They had precognition of what Obama would achieve as our first ex-president. They realized that he would eliminate Israel as an entity unto itself. He would eliminate guns in America. He'd eliminate those nasty term limits. He'd grant amnesty to make America into an appendage of Mexico. They knew all of this would be coming because it was all charted out, which is why they jumped the gun and gave him a Nobel Prize. Or am I just being alarmist about those things? Let's listen to President Obama himself when he was a senator as to what he thought about the filibuster, which he eliminated. Listen carefully to the president.
The American people want less partisanship in this town, but everyone in this chamber knows that if the majority chooses to end the filibuster, if they choose to change the rules and put an end to democratic debate, then the fighting and the bitterness and the gridlock will only get worse.
That was him then. Now let's listen to the knockout artist himself, Harry Reid, a former pugilist, who will go down in the books in the history of America, if there is still a history to be written after this gang gets through. They owned Goodwin. I can't believe this woman is still out there writing a book when she was found to be a plagiarist. I just cannot believe this, that even Fox News would have her on. It's not that they forgot who she was. Presidential historian Doris Kearns Goodwin, who was found out to be a plagiarist, gets up there with her swami little face, and they interview her on Fox News like she's legitimate. If there is an America tomorrow, and there is a history to be written that is objective, did you hear me? Harry Reid will be written in as the greatest villain in the modern American history. Listen to what Harry Reid himself said when he was a member of the minority. Listen to clip 9.
The filibuster is far from a procedural gimmick. It's part of the fabric of this institution we call the Senate. It was well known in colonial legislatures before we became a country, and it's an integral part of our country's 214-year history.
So where are the First Amendment lawyers? Where are the lawyers from New York who always talk about the Constitution? Where are all of the left-wing lawyers who care so much about these things? The answer is they never cared about any of them. It was all about seizing power and having sex and getting as many drugs as possible without getting caught. Zuckerface, who wants cheap labor, in my estimation, has the nerve to call it a civil rights issue. Listen to Zuckerface in clip four.
I think that this is one of the biggest civil rights issues of our time, and it makes me proud of the community that I'm a part of out here, that it was so easy to rally a lot of the leaders to come and try to support this effort.
So easy? Nothing to do with dollars, Zuckerface? You know you only want cheap labor. You know you struck a deal with Obama that if you support amnesty for 30 to 50 million illegal aliens, you'll get the H-1B visas so you can undercut all of the workers at Zuckerfaceburg. Zuckerfaceburg wants bigger profits. Don't you understand that there's a madness and a nymphomania in these people? You don't understand that there's no such thing as enough money for them, whether it be Google or Zuckerface. It doesn't matter how many airplanes they have, they want more airplanes. It doesn't matter how many billions they have, they want more billions. And that's what is supposed to be checked in a legitimate society. Why do Nevada prostitutes praise Obama? Obamacare has been touted as a boon to America's self-employed. That includes the independent contractors at the Moonlight Bunny Ranch, otherwise known as hookers. Now they're thrilled. They're calling themselves hookers for Obama. They say it's a miracle because it's harder for us to get health insurance because not everyone understands our profession and agrees with what we do, said Bunny Ranch hooker Bella Dawn. And they say the working girls are, they're thrilled. It's wonderful because finally they're going to be able to get insurance as the independent contractors they are, and some with pre-existing conditions, Bunny Ranch owner Dennis Hoff said. You know you're not living in a sane society when a pimp supports Obamacare. You know you're not living in a legitimate nation anymore. Pre-existing conditions brought about by what? By their behavior. Well, you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay. It's that simple. Now you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for all of the degenerate behavior that has given them their conditions. Now you understand what they meant by pre-existing conditions, don't you? But this is only a tip of the iceberg of who's going to get coverage, who have engaged in risky behavior. You have no idea who's really behind it. I do. But I'd rather not go there right now. I've made enough enemies for one night. Yeah, well, quite a day it's been. Obama steals the Constitution. Boehner comes out and says immigration reform is absolutely not dead. Obama then said ending the filibuster will only make things worse. Obama now says ending the filibuster is wonderful. We played a montage of all of the lying, deceitful, two-faced Democrats then and now. All of them, then and now. No one's done what I did because I have the greatest sound crew in the whole world. Neil, congratulations. Doug, congratulations. Two men did more work than any three networks did. The two guys who worked for me, Doug Lynn and Neil West, did more work for the betterment and the education of the American people than all three networks combined. And there's no better homage I can pay to these two wonderful workers than play clip number one again. Obama, Reid, Schumer, Biden, then, and all of them now. Why don't you play it right now?
The American people want less partisanship in this town, but everyone in this chamber knows that if the majority chooses to end the filibuster, if they choose to change the rules and put an end to democratic debate, then the fighting and the bitterness and the gridlock will only get worse.
The vote today, I think, is an indication that a majority of senators believe, as I believe, that enough is enough. The American people's business is far too important to keep falling prey day after day to Washington politics.
The filibuster is far from a procedural gimmick. It's part of the fabric of this institution we call the Senate. It was well known in colonial legislatures before we became a country, and it's an integral part of our country's 214-year history.
In the history of our country, some 230-plus years, there have been 168 filibusters of executive and judicial nominations. Half of them have occurred during the Obama administration. The American people believe Congress is broken. The American people believe the Senate is broken. And I believe the American people are right.
The people have made clear they believe the filibuster is an important check and balance to be preserved, not vaporized.
But the filibuster has been overused. It's not just used on major issues like very significant judges, Supreme Court, leaders of the courts of appeals, health care.
This nuclear option is ultimately an example of the arrogance of power. It is a fundamental power grab by the majority party.
I served in the Senate for 36 years, and you got 13 senators, including the minority leader, saying, I will filibuster proceeding on dealing with this national tragedy. What an embarrassing thing to say.
America's democracy was broken by the gangster regime that has seized literally total power. And this is dangerous because there is a pacifist, weak opposition. If we had a vigorous opposition and if we had a legitimate press, I don't think this would have happened, number one, but at least there would be some discussion of it. Going along with this is the fact that we have no opposition to speak of, and the fact that, just as you feared, MSNBC is owned by the White House. You've often asked, why would they hire a street rat like Al Sharpton? Why would they hire such lightweights and put them on television? They work for the Obama administration, who gives his marching orders to these low-lifes, these weaklings, these nobodies. In exchange for it, he gives tax advantages to General Electric. Don't you understand how this works? It's as simple as a television drama. Why do you think GE lets these lightweights, who repeat everything that Obama says, support everything Obama says? Why? There's an exchange. It's a quid pro quo. You put these stooges up. You put these people who have no intellect, who are nothing but puppets, and let them say what I want them to say, like they'll start supporting what Obama did as something good.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage. This is an encore presentation of The Savage Nation.
Welcome to the Savage Nation, your cure for that annoying liberal family member who would not keep quiet about how good Obamacare was yesterday at Thanksgiving dinner. Well, to get over Obamacare, here are some of the greatest hits for you right now.
So you don't have to trust the people you're dealing with. You have to have a mechanism put in place whereby you know exactly what you're getting and you know exactly what they're doing.
Going forward, we will continue to work closely with Congress. However, now is not the time to move forward on new sanctions, because doing so would derail this promising first step, alienate us from our allies, and risk unraveling the coalition that enabled our sanctions to be enforced.
My God, he twists everything. It's frightening. It's just frightening what he just did. Secretary of Hate John Kerry said that the opponents of this deal wanted war as a first resort. That was a total Orwellian lie. Appeasement causes war. Churchill knew that in 1938. Appeasement causes war. Appeasement causes war. But what Obama and Kerry did, they did without Congress's knowledge, let alone their debate or approval. What country do you want to live in? Do you want to live in a dictatorship? Are you happy that you have a dictator? Do you feel better that Obama has taken the reins and there's no more a messy Congress to deal with? Is that the country that you want to live in? Because you're living in it. Now, some Democrats, who are, from my opinion, wrong on everything, are suddenly opposed to the Iran nuke deal. Let's begin with Senator Chuck Schumer in clip 20. Listen to this one.
An existential threat to Israel's existence is a nuclear Iran. And when you use the word existential, it sounds very philosophical. But it's a very simple word. It means existence. The very idea of a nuclear Iran is a threat to the entire state of Israel's existence.
As they were knocking down the chicken and potatoes and kugel at some fundraiser. I believe nothing he says, by the way. He says what he thinks is expedient for a fundraiser. So now let's go to another Democrat who I do believe from time to time. Representative Elliot Engel, Democrat, New York, in clip 15. Let's listen to that.
It's disappointing to me that Iran is still going to be allowed to enrich while they're talking. I would have thought that that should be a prerequisite to any kind of talks. We're not asking them to dismantle any of their centrifuges. So that's disappointing.
Okay, he's a Democrat. Clip 16 is again Representative Engel in clip 16. Let's hear the rest of that.
I think we need to be very, very careful with the Iranians. I don't trust them. I don't think we should trust them. But I think that we have to make it work. Now, I'm in favor of sanctions. I agree with Chairman Royce that it's important to ratchet up.
So there's been a fracture of the liberal Democrat, shall I say, cabal. They finally recognize that he's turned on them as well. Even some liberal Democrats realize what he's doing is a disaster for the world and for the Democrat Party itself. Now let's go to the Republican side, Representative Ed Royce in clip number 14.
We needed to continue to ratchet up those sanctions until Iran was willing to agree to give up its right to enrich, to give up its nuclear program. Until they do that, they're still on the road to having the capability for undetectable nuclear weapons breakout.
Okay. Now, look, we did our homework. This is 3 days' worth of work that you're getting in 10 minutes. Representative Mike Rogers, a wonderful Republican, in clip 17, is worth listening to.
We have just rewarded very bad and dangerous behavior. We may have just encouraged more violence in the future than we have stopped.
Now, Mike Rogers said there was no notification. He didn't even know they were doing this. The Hill was left in the dark on the deal that was struck over the weekend by John Kerry, who's now fundamentally a rogue Secretary of State. Listen to clip 26.
There was no formal notification, certainly that I received, and my understanding is that neither did the Senate, which is concerning. We have full access to every classified program, every covert action program, as we should in our role for oversight. It was concerning that they didn't believe it was important enough to do this, and that just raises questions about what did they prearrange prior to the P5 plus one. I mean, it raises, this is why you don't want to do this. It raises unnecessary suspicions about what was agreed to prior to the P5 plus one.
Okay, you heard that. So, listen, there's a very big problem emerging here, and yet Obama immediately runs and hides in San Francisco around amnesty seekers who love him because he's basically going to open up the Bastille and let the prisoners out. You realize that that's the equivalency of what Obama will do with amnesty? It dawned on me. There's a historic equivalence that if he says we should grant amnesty to all the illegals here, which is what he's doing no matter what he says, that's the equivalent of the French Revolution when they opened up the prisons and let all of the prisoners out. And they ran out and started killing and murdering anyone with any property in France. You don't seem to understand what's going on here. You have a flaming revolutionary in the White House. How stupid can America be? Well, okay, it's one man's opinion. I shouldn't get too excited. Shall I give you my favorite turkey recipe? Because I'm not going to do it. 855-400-7282. It's the Savage Nation. What do you want to talk about? WABC Andrew, you're next up out of New York City. What's on your mind on this great national program of mine?
Many things make me angry. The media covering for Obama, which links into what you've been talking about, the knockouts. President Obama supported live birth abortions, and he spoke out on the Trayvon Martin case, said if he had a son, but 19 kids that were African-American got in one weekend in Chicago, all my other African-Americans, not a peep out of him or the media. His wife went on the news once that she attended several flag-burning ceremonies. And I want to ask you a question with Barack. And in the Japanese internment camps, weren't there also Italian and Germans that were interned? Yet if you put on people...
Well, it's a separate... I don't know what it has to do with Obama. I don't think he was born at the time. But, yes, of course there were Italian internment camps. In fact, Joe DiMaggio's father was a humble crab fisherman here in San Francisco. And do you know that his crabbing boat was seized by the federal government because he was of Italian descent? Do you know that?
I don't. And NPR, PBS, they hide that, they sweep it under the rug, but it reminds
me. Yes, the Italians had property seized. Many German-Americans who were loyal to this country had their property seized. Yes, there were many, many injustices during World War II enacted by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, one of Obama's mentors. But you have to understand that those were different times than they are today, and I think that we should certainly know the truth and know the history of the truth, but and move on. That's all. What are you going to do, dwell on the past? Going to live with that anger? You're angry about Italians who had fishing boats seized in World War II. Wow. I don't think so. You don't even know about it. Is anyone happy out there? Is there some idiot who's happy? Some moron out there happy tonight for some reason? Why? It's a terrible time in America. Yellen's Fed leadership is an almost done deal. Look at this Yenta. Look who they put into the Fed. It reminds me of like that Peter Sellers movie where they pick someone off the street and turn him into the president. Janet Yellen's nomination will proceed to the full Senate. Gee, I wonder if she's going to be confirmed as the next head of the Fed. Like a Yenta. Just give her two shopping bags and send it to Macy's. General Reserve's campaign to encourage economic growth was bolted on Thursday. Janet L. Yenta. She'll be known as Janet L. Yenta from now on. Move to confirmation as the next head of the Fed and the change in Senate procedures made it easier for the White House to fill three other vacancies. So in other words, they can't even say no to the Yenta. And what is her calling card? She's going to print more money. Easy money policy, it's called. Which, of course, is what Wall Street wants. They live off false money. It's all false currency. Do you know that one Russian politician wants to ban dollars in Russia? He says that it's part of a Ponzi scheme. Can you believe this? A Russian now is saying that the U.S. dollar should be banned in Russia because it's based on a Ponzi scheme. So putting in a Yenta now. Ms. Yellen's confirmation. She's a Ms., huh? And the distinction of becoming the first woman. Oh, well, I'm sorry. I'm going to vote for her. First, I love when you hear the first woman. Oh, that's qualification unto itself. That's like a minority selected because he's a minority. Oh, that's a qualification. First woman. Oh, let's celebrate that. Sure, they'll make a stamp in her name. Virtually sure after the Senate changes rules a few hours later, Garland, 51 votes to confirm most presidential nominee. See, Ms. Yellen does not need Republican support. Don't you understand the ramifications of this? The Yenta now is automatically put in. So the bankers now got what they want. The full Senate is expected to vote after Thanksgiving. Their vote now has as much power as it did under Caligula, when Caligula assassinated one of the senators and put a horse in his seat. And he said, the horse has as much sense as you do. So he had one of the Roman senators taken out and assassinated and put a horse in the Roman Senate. That's what the Democrats just did. They mocked the entire meaning of the word Senate and democracy. The rules change also will make it easy for the White House to fill three other seats on the feds. Shall I read on? You can really get sick. Three other seats. They're going to put like horses in those seats like Caligula did. Three other vacancies. On the Board of Governors, with nominee, Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve, right. To let Ms. Yenta press ahead with the Fed's stimulus campaign. You know what that means, print money. Take a look at her. Unbelievable. Janet Yellen? Well, she's no different than Ben Bernanke. He was a real prize. A real prize. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke and Yellen. There's Obama smirking at both of them. The two puppets in front of him. He got Bernanke on the left and Yellen on the right, like a big difference. He switched from a pair of empty pants to an empty skirt. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Do you remember the killing of the World War II vet who was beaten to death by two black youths not too long ago in Spokane, Washington? The poor little old man. Delbert Belton, a man in his late 80s who was jumped by two teens in a parking lot and beaten to death outside a city ice rink in August. Remember that little story, the World War II vet, the little man who bothered nobody? He swept up outside a veterans hall. He was a World War II veteran. He was beaten to death by two teens. The teens, Keenan Adams Kinnard, was arrested for killing Delbert Belton. The other teen, 16, also beat him to death just for fun because he was a little innocent, poor white man. Well, there's a new twist to the story that's hard to relate to. Aryan Brotherhood targeting black teens who beat World War II vet to death, cops. Keenan Adams Kindard and Demetrius Glenn, both 16, are accused of murdering Delbert Belton in Spokane, Washington. But the boys are in protective custody after cops got word that the Aryan Brotherhood is offering a $10,000 bounty on the teens. I guess they played knockout on a little 88-year-old man, and now they don't like what's, as they used to say, what goes around comes around. Cash for kill, Aryan Brotherhood offers $10,000 bounty on the heads of black teens who beat World War II veteran to death. They're in the crosshairs of the Aryan Brotherhood. Who would have thunk? Then there's the story of the teen who raped and killed a math teacher in a vicious attack before he was found with her wallet and the iPhone and underwear. The teen, Philip Kism, 14, the poor, misunderstood teen, is being charged as an adult in the killing of this pure and beautiful math teacher, Colleen Ritzer. He raped her and killed her in a school bathroom before dumping her body in the woods. It's because he didn't have any opportunities, because he was a downtrodden teen who didn't have society behind him. Shall I go down the list of what's going on in this country and why? Why is all of this happening now? Why is this knockout game happening? Why are so many teens doing these things? Anyone have an idea? Don't call me. We all know why. We don't want to talk about it, though. Karen on KKOH, you're up on the Savage Nation.
I know the answer to two important things. First, Hillary Clinton wants to win for president, and if Obama eliminates term limits, that will completely and obliterate Bill Clinton's legacy. He doesn't want that. His ego is so big.
So what you're getting at is you think the Clinton machine would stand up against a power grab by Obama to eliminate term limits?
They've already demonstrated, the Clintons, that everyone will side with the Clintons over Obama. But there's even...
What you're missing, that may be true, but who has more power right now? The Axelrod Obama machine or the Clinton machine? Who has more power?
Clinton. They won't allow their legs...
Why do you think the Clintons have more power? They're not in power. They don't have the wheels of government behind them.
Well, Soros, as you say, he's great friends with them. But
Soros is also great friends with Obama. He put him in office. Who do you think put him in office?
I have something more important than any of that. So, the Chinese have a culture for 5,000 years. They now love capitalism. They outnumber everybody 100-1. So Obama putting the illegals and trying to wipe out the middle class and all the decadent anti-American behavior, the Chinese are adopting that with open arms, welcoming it, buying everything up. He can't do anything to get rid of them. And the more they have gold, when he devalues the dollar, there's nothing he can do. And they're going to come in, and they're going to obliterate this whole thing and free up the oil, which will create a capitalistic society again. And there's nothing Obama, no one...
So wait, that's a long thread that you just laid out there. You're actually saying it would be good if the Chinese took over America? Is that what I heard?
It's not only good, it's going to be fabulous, because the new emperors are not what their parents were, communists before.
Now we're hearing that the Chinese communist government is something to be welcomed in America? You mean where political dissidents are thrown into concentration camps? That's something you want?
They won't be that way. They love restaurants. They're buying New York.
Oh, come on, lady. Karen, you made sense up to a point, but I don't think you know the truth about what goes on in China with dissidents. What? You should research more about what's done to dissidents in China before you start to wax eloquently about how wonderful they will be here. Another thing, Karen, I don't mean to be insulting, but I think you should try switching to unleaded paint chips. Thank you for the call. 855-400-7282.
Mike Huckabee. Is it fair? Is it fair? Is it fair he's paying this and I'm paying this? Because you don't understand.
Weekdays 9 to noon on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
This is an encore presentation of the Savage Nation.
We all have that liberal in the family who won't stop yakking about fake global warming, and they always seem more insane during the holidays. Why don't you just shove a turkey leg on their plate and make them listen to the greatest hits from the Savage Nation that we put together for you? You'll thank me for it later. Okay, line 5, Stephanie in St. Louis. Line 5, you're on the Savage Nation on this disaster that Obama and Kerry have just conducted behind the backs of Congress.
Oh, my God, Dr. Savage, can you even believe it? I'm calling from St. Louis, Missouri. I'm listening online, KSFO AM out of San Francisco, streaming on my internet.
It's a great station. It's my home station. And so how do you feel about this as a public opinion poll that's being done in the Savage Nation tonight? You feel good about the president going around Congress to make peace in our time?
No. As a matter of fact, I can't even imagine what our country's going to look like in another 3 years from now. I will even be surprised. I just can't even imagine what we're going to look like 3 years from now. Do you know how much damage can be done in 3 years?
Yes, I do, because when Bush had six more months left in his regime, I warned America he wasn't finished yet. I warned him in the June of his last year, and he then created the disaster which led to the implosion of all of our financial markets. Bush did that.
I believe that. And you know what else I'm coming to know about myself, too, is 20 years ago I was a bleeding heart liberal. Now I'm almost a conspiracy theorist.
Well, that's not unusual when you're, you know, if you're not a liberal at 20, you have no heart. If you're still a liberal at 40, you have no mind. You've heard that, haven't you?
That's right. And recently I changed jobs, and my new coworker asked me about a week after we had the conversation about my political views, and which he shares, by the way. He said, "Stephanie, I have to ask you, what was it that made you change your mind?" I said, I grew up. I had children. I became a mother. I started working 45 or 50 hours a week. And when you put a little bit of skin in the game, you have to start thinking about things.
That's right. I drove through a poor section of a town near where I live, and I saw people in the streets today who were doing nothing. Doing nothing. I knew they were drug dealers. You could look at them and know they're peddling drugs. And I say to myself, how can this country go on? In my day, the cops could stop vagrants and ask them what they were doing in the neighborhood and either arrest them for vagrancy or tell them to move on and get away from there because they knew they were up to no good. And now the government actually supports the vagrants and tells the cops they're racist for doing their job.
It's just incredible.
Do you ever watch the television series called Homeland on HBO?
I have not.
Oh, well, I'll go into it one day. It's about a former Marine who was captured in Iraq, put into a prison cell by the Islamists, and turned into a double agent. And then he's sent back to America. The character's name is Brody, and he becomes a U.S. congressman because he was a former Marine and everyone loved him. Meanwhile, he's working for the Islamists. He's a double agent. Many people feel that there are many Brodies in the White House. Many people know that there are links that make that suspicion and that conspiracy quite valid. Many people are terrified that all of the generals who have been purged were trying to stop Obama from doing what he just did to Israel. They opposed it. He fired them. Many people feel that the CIA and the FBI has been gutted and deballed by Obama to be turned into compliant appendages of the White House, which is not what they were ever intended to be. Many people fear that we are living in a dictatorship that's going to get far worse before it gets far better. Now, I realize this is heavy-duty stuff and that many of you want to go into the Thanksgiving holiday a little less tense. But when I saw this Saturday night, I got very agitated. This was no longer about Israel. This was not about the tail wagging the dog. This was about supplying the most terrorist nation on earth with the means to develop a nuclear weapon. Do you understand the difference? Let's put Israel out of the equation. Let's put Israel out of the equation. Many of you are such anti-Semites that you're blinded, and you say anything that hurts Israel is a good thing. I like the Indian caller. That's where he's coming from. He's seeing it from a very limited perspective. But now let's look at it from the perspective of America per se and our national interest. You have a maniac who's screaming, when I get a gun, I'm going to buy a machine gun. And when I get it, I'm going to go to a school and shoot up children. Well, what do you do with that person? Do you give them a machine gun? No, you send in the world police and you arrest that person. Iran is that crazy man saying, when I get the machine gun, I'm going to kill the children in a schoolroom. Do you give him a machine gun? Do you say, let's help him get a machine gun? Or do you make certain he never gets the machine gun? Your president just said that crazy man can have a machine gun. That's my analogy, and I stick by it. New Mexico, KTBL. Daniel, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi again. Yeah, I was going to say, I actually, there's a radio show called Red Eye Radio. The hosts on that show, Gary and Eric, actually praised you for getting on Cumulus about a year ago. And
that was a year ago, but now are they still praising me now that I'm moving into a major drive time slot and an old wall banger, their hero, has been pushed out?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, I haven't heard them say much else, but they haven't said...
You know what? God bless them for saying one nice thing about me. This is the most vicious business in the world. This makes vaudeville look like a whatever. I was never in vaudeville myself. I heard about it. Imagine there was a thing called vaudeville once, and now there's internet porn. What was vaudeville? It was stupid men making jokes with a cane so that strippers could come on the stage. I was way before... Now with internet porn, they don't need men with canes. It is the Savage Nation. We have great calls here. KOKC in Ohio, Dave, you're on the Savage Nation.
You deliver compelling, personalized, entertaining content. You let us into your life. You give us just that little taste. You open that door a little bit. So, and like vaudeville, you leave us wanting more.
That's nice. Well, of course, you're not going to tell everyone every detail of your life. It would be embarrassing.
Of course.
I'm not going to, you wouldn't want to hear it anyway. I mean, but the point is I give you pieces of my life that I think are interesting and have a certain degree of dignity. Let's put it that way. The rest I could leave out. I'm not Howard Stern. Obama biography required reading tells fourth graders that white Americans are racist. This is from the Daily Caller. Some parents in Illinois are not happy that a biography of President Barack Obama is required reading for fourth graders. They say the book contains a host of controversial elements, not least of which is that it casts white Americans who disagree with Obama's policy as racist. It's published by Lerner Publications. The so-called author is Jane Sutcliffe. The book originally came up, and it's part of Scholastic's Reading Counts program. It's acceptable under the Common Core State Standards. And the book continually identifies Obama on a first-name basis. It bizarrely blames the evils of television for learning ways, quote, to be black that are hilariously caricatured, stereotypical, and negative. They say that when Barry looked in the mirror, he saw a young black man, but he didn't know how to be black, and no one was there to teach him. And so Barry, our president, it says, decided to act like the black characters he saw on TV. He started acting tough. He cursed. Was that what it meant to be black? As he got older, our president started smoking and drinking. He tried drugs. Was that what it meant to be black? It's not clear if the author purposely conflates being a black American with, quote, acting tough, cursing, smoking and drinking, and doing drugs. The author, Sutcliffe, is white, according to her Amazon.com author page. The Obama biography goes on to charge that white Americans did not want to vote for Obama because of his skin color. However, it neatly explains America's 44th president was able to bring everybody together in blissful unity. And some people, she says, aren't ready for that much change. Sure, Barack is a nice fellow, but white voters would never vote for a black president. You get the picture. And I won't read any more. And the book ends by saying that the United States is, quote, now more perfect, some 6 years into Barry's presidency. That's what's going on in the country. Any reason to be angry over this? America's anger epidemic? Gas stations, supermarkets, people gritting teeth, road rage on the highway, banks. I dread going into these places. I send out for food if I can. You want me to feel good about what this man has done to this country, what he plans on doing tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow? You want me to feel good about Leahy and Reed and Feinstein and Boxer and the other illegitimi? I don't feel good about them. They've stolen my nation out from under me. And they're throwing it into the garbage. They're going to turn us into a third world cesspool unless this is stopped. That's one man's opinion on a quiet Friday night. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Borders, language, and culture. Don't miss the Savage Nation right here weekdays at noon on the only conservative station in the Bay Area, Hot Talk 560 KSFO. Now, luckily, my dog Teddy is not with me tonight. He is still at the groomer. Otherwise, I would not dare show my real rage for fear that I would upset the dog. And on top of that, in my studio, as I speak, There is a mouse living in the studio. We have not seen the mouse, but he leaves his telltale droppings underneath a sofa. And while we put a trap underneath the sofa, cleaned out the droppings, left a trap, we came back the next day and found the trap had snapped, but the mouse had gotten away with the food. So it's a smart mouse. And then, of course, one of the women said, don't kill the poor mouse. Maybe the mouse is just trying to get some food for its baby mice who are living somewhere else in the studio. Now, I try to explain that if we don't take out the mother mouse, the baby mice will be fed and get fat, and then they, too, will have babies. And before long, the studio will be filled with mice. Of course, you can't explain that to people with certain sensibilities. Because to them, let's say it's different than to have and have not. Jesse on WFTL in Florida. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, you are the voice of America.
Well, I am a voice of America, yes. I'm not the voice of America. I am a voice of America.
No. You are the voice of America. I hope everybody in the world listens to you.
I know they listen to me in England. That's why I'm not allowed to enter the country.
Listen, you're the only person in the world that has a brain in this country that's telling us what's going on in that idiotic government. And I just thank God.
Well, look, I'm glad that you enjoy my analysis and my insights and analysis, obviously. But there are others who are trying to warn us. You know that. I mean, you've got talk radio all day long doing the same thing, Jesse, to be fair.
No, not truly. Not truly. Your demeanor, I mean, your approach to delivering the information is far more powerful than Wallbanger and all these other creeps, because I used to listen to them. But, I mean, things are so dangerous right now. If we don't get off our butts and do something, this country's gone.
Well, we all know that, but Wallbanger's trying the best he can, I mean, given the limited cards he was dealt.
Well, maybe that's...
I'm joking. No, I'm serious. You know that it was just a battle between me and him, and he lost, that's all.
Yeah.
So he can't be too... I mean, I don't want to make it personal. The thing is that we actually need Wallbanger. We need Wallbanger to continue the fight. He is on the side of right. I mean, he is trying to do the best he can. We're all anguished more than we are angry. We're anguished more than we're angry because we don't seem to have anyone speaking for us.
Right, exactly. But you are. And see.
Well, I am. That's right, I am. I really am. I'm still a Boy Scout at the end of the day. I never worked for any governmental agency. I never worked for any entity in the government. I was never part of a big government. I was never a politician. I am truly an outsider. I'm truly an individual who has watched this government roll over all of us. I've never worked for the Republicans and said, oh, they're good and the Democrats are bad. Never. Never. I saw what Bush did to this country. I don't know how long you've been listening to my show, but I called Bush a fiscal socialist in the last year of his regime. I don't know if you remember that.
It's only been about 6 months, but Michael, I'm going to tell you.
In the last year of Bush's regime, I said, wait a minute. He's not a conservative. He's a fiscal socialist. I saw what he was doing. While all the others were going there to the White House, including Wallbanger, he went for a photo op. Rush went. He went. They all had pictures taken in the White House. I wasn't invited. I've always been the outsider. I've always been considered the rebel. And I'm not looking for that position. It's just where they pushed me, that's all. But it isn't about me, it's about you. Think I don't know what's going on in the country? I know what's going on. I have a great ear to the society. Perhaps as fine an ear as any. My stethoscope is as sharp as anyone in this country, if not sharper. I am the greatest cardiologist of the heart of this country. And I am telling you, the temples have hollowed out, the churches have hollowed out. Why? Not because the people don't want to hear God's word. It's because they can't hear God's word when they go into these places. God's been driven out of the temples, by and large. He's been driven out of the churches, by and large. They mumbo-jumbo it. Mumbo, mumbo, jumbo, jumbo, mm-hmm. Do they feel anything? Do they come away feeling refreshed and cleansed? Do people go into temples and churches and come out feeling that they have cleansed themselves? Do they feel that they have touched God or been touched by God? I doubt it. Now, there are fundamentalists who do feel that. And they get that. You know what it is that they're looking for? They're looking for, there's a word for it. In almost every religion, every culture has it. In the Jewish tradition, it's called Shekinah, which means soul, touching God. In every religion, in every culture, remember, I'm a trained social anthropologist. I've seen it in primitive villages. I've seen chants, I've heard chants, I've touched chants, I've chanted, and I understand it. In every case, it was people trying to reach the higher power. And in the primitive villages, they could reach the higher power, whether it was through Kava Kava, which I've done many times. I don't care for the stuff. It's that chalky liquid. I never cared for it very much, drinking it all those nights in the 60s and early 70s. But I drank it with the Fijians in order to become part of them and to know them, and they never would have shared their folk remedies with me. Doctors who had spent many, many years in the islands would write years later that in drinking Kava Kava, or as the Fijians call it, Yangona, the men never became violent, they never became drunk, they never went on a rampage. But if they went to the cities and they drank beer, they would become very militant and very violent when they drank alcohol. But in the cultural settings, in the villages, they sat in a circle and they drank Kava Kava, as I did many and many a time. In fact, I wrote an unpublished book called, I don't want to give the title away, someone will steal it before it's out of my mouth. It's 700 pages of manuscript. I was just thinking about it the other night. I don't even know where it is. And I would like to go back to those years sometimes. I really wish I could turn the clock back. I really wish I could turn the clock back and then go forward again. But I'm afraid to tell you I'd be right where I am, in front of the microphone, holding forth to my congregation of the Savage Nation. This is very much like a revival to me. There's a hardcore of listeners who are thirsting for contact with somebody who speaks the plain truth. I could speak at 3 o'clock in the morning, and people would tune the radio in. Because, as Hemingway said, the truth has a certain ring to it. Now, I don't claim to be the truest man on earth, nor do I claim to be the best man on earth. I'm just another man, another fallen angel like all of you. But I have been given a gift, and that gift is the gift to see and to speak. And that's why I'm here for you. And there are people who want the real thing. They want the authentic thing. They don't want the ersatz thing. They don't want the fugazi. They want the real diamond. And they don't know where to get it. So they turn to radio if they have to. Wherever the word comes down to them, that touches them, they will be there. And at the end of the day, that's not even about ratings. It's not about beating the other guy. It's just what it is. It is what it is. It's like a true song. If the song is good, the song is good. If it's a fake song, it's a fake song. If it's a good song, it's a good song. And so I try to sing the best I can every night, and here I am. Many people have a constant need to take a chemical vacation from this. Their repulsive environment, their repulsive news, their repulsive surroundings. It's no wonder people turn to alcohol or drugs for release or to slam the door. I mean, the fact is, that's what they're doing. They have a craving for release or sedation. They want a drink or a smoke. It's not evil unto itself to want to turn off the concept of selfhood. You know, carrying yourself around is a tremendous burden. This goes back to the whole era of transcendental psychology and selfhood. I know many of you have never heard this, but many of you have heard it. But truthfully, the desire to escape from selfhood and to escape the environment itself, when I say the environment, I mean your surroundings, your daily life, is in people almost all of the time. Trust me, I know what I'm speaking of, because...
Savage.